Could I bid each of you a very warm welcome along to our service here this evening. We trust as we open God's word that we'll know the Lord's presence and that we'll hear his voice speaking to us this evening. We're going to commence our worship by singing the hymn 640, O breath of life, come sweeping through us. Revive thy church with life and power. O breath of life, come cleanse, renew us, and fit thy church to meet this hour. We're singing three verses of this hymn. We're keeping our seats while we sing. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for that desire that Thou hast given us to worship and praise Thy name. We recognize there was a time when we had no thought of Thee and we had no desire to sing Thy praises. But we thank Thee for that transformation that was wrought at Calvary. We thank Thee that there our sins were washed away. We were made new creatures in Christ. We thank Thee this evening for the Spirit of God. We thank Thee that He is that breath of life. We think of even that portion in the Old Testament in Ezekiel. We read there of my dead bones scattered across my valley. And how the wind began to blow. And the various parts came together. And then they became alive. And then they became a mighty army. And O God, as we come to Thee this evening, we pray for that, the wind of God. We pray that we might see those who are dead in trespasses and sins, my made alive, becoming a mighty army, even for Thee in these days. Lord, we recognize tonight that we are in a battle. We battle not against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and against powers. And we ask that Thou wouldst make us good soldiers. Lord, help us to know the sword of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be able to wield it effectively and to pierce the enemy through and through. We realize, Lord, that we're living in dark days. We're living in troublesome times. And yet we recognize there's nothing new under the sun. We thank Thee that Thy Word contains direction, contains principles which we can apply to every situation in life. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us to study the Scriptures and to have that wisdom and that ability to apply the Word to our circumstances so that we might know what to do in the age in which we live. Lord, save us from being carried away by our own notions and our own ideas. But help us, Lord, to be guided by the Word of God, to set our steps in agreement to Thy precious Word. We come to Thee tonight and we pray for this service. Lord, we pray, breathe upon us. We pray that as the Scriptures are read, Lord, make them to live before us. We pray that we might hear Thee speaking through them. As we open up the Word of God, Lord, challenge our hearts. We pray that Thou wouldst instruct us and that Thou wouldst make us into those vessels that Thou would have us even to be. Oh, to be useful in the Master's service. Lord, let that be the desire of each of our hearts. Remember those who are not able to be with us tonight. We think, Lord, especially of those who are shut in, not able to come out, those in nursing homes, shut off even from relatives and friends. And Lord, we pray that You would draw near to them, and that in these difficult times that You would encourage them and lead them on with Thyself. We pray for those in government that Thou wouldst give them wisdom. But Lord, not only give them wisdom, but neither may they always be willing to obey Thy voice. So Lord, we commit our way now into Thine hands, praying for Thy presence and Thy help this evening. For in the Savior's name we pray. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles this evening to the book of Jeremiah and to the chapter 18, the prophecy of Jeremiah, and to the chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, and we're reading from the beginning of that chapter. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can not I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them." Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of His own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just stand to our feet for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank You this evening for Thy goodness to us. We thank You, Lord, for the giving of Thy children. We thank Thee for this encouraging offering that was brought in last week. And we pray, Lord, that even as we seek to preach the gospel here and by other means to send it across the world, that it might be used mightily by Thee for Thy honor and for Thy glory. We thank Thee for the Scriptures that we have read together. And Lord, we cry to Thee that Thou wouldst give to us understanding of Thy Word. We pray, Lord, that this evening that Thou wouldst touch this mind, bring to my remembrance what Thou would have us to say. And Lord, by Thy Spirit, apply it to each of our hearts. Thou art the potter, we are the clay. And we pray, Lord, come and use us for Thy honor and for Thy glory even this evening. So shut us in with thyself. Take away every distracting thought. May we hear thee. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Amen. The book of Jeremiah, the chapter 18, and I want to draw your attention particularly to the verses 3 and 4. The prophet said, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessels that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." As we come into this chapter, we find the prophet Jeremiah being moved by the Spirit of God. Passing through the gates of Jerusalem, he descended down into the valley of Hinnom. Entering into a small and a obscure hut, he found a potter busily engaged in his craft. Rather than preaching a sermon to him, he being brought there to prepare a sermon, he set his eyes upon the potter. Watching his every move, he saw him take a piece of moistened clay, kneading it until every bubble of air was gone. He then placed it upon a wheel, turning it rapidly with the motion of his foot. He then placed his hands right around it, skillfully applying pressure, a beautiful vessel fit for the royal palace or for the temple began to appear, widening it and leading it up into a more slender form. A small flaw suddenly appeared, weakening the whole structure. It suddenly collapsed into a shapeless ruin upon the wheel. To the prophet's surprise, the potter didn't sweep the marred, broken clay into the bin. Instead, gathering the broken pieces together and pressing them together and applying water, he then began to make it again. And despite his disappointment in this vessel being marred and collapsing, now he began to make it again. And you see, while our lives at times may become marred, they do not become obsolete. The Lord is able to take us, and the Lord is able to make us again. Indeed, meeting Jacob at the ford Jabbok, the Lord found a cheater and a supplanter. However, rather than casting him off, he wrestling with him through the long hours of darkness, he brought forth a prince. Again, meeting cold and backslidden Peter in the resurrection morn, the Lord turned him into a firebrand. My who, preaching on the day of Pentecost, saw a multitude of souls gloriously and wondrously converted. And you see, while our lives at times may become flawed, the Lord is able to make us again. He is able to make us into princes, and He is able also to make us into soul winners. Don't think tonight that because in the past you have messed up, that you need to remain in that messed state the rest of your life. Do not think tonight that because somewhere in the past that you failed the Lord, that you have to remain a failure the rest of your life. The Lord is the great potter. He is able and He is willing tonight to make you again. He's willing by to take you up and to use you again in His service. How good, how gracious is the God that we serve. Despite our feelings, despite our many shortcomings, He doesn't cast us off, but He's willing to make us again, willing to take us up and to use us. And so I want to draw your attention this evening to this potter. I want you to notice firstly here the potter's mission. Digging the clay out of the ground and treading upon it with his feet. He then placed it upon the wheel, spinning it around by means of his feet. He then began to shape it, driving his fingers right into it. Notice here the purpose he envisaged. The vessel at first collapsing, we read in verse 4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Clay in its raw state is useless and of little value. To the unskilled eye, it is nothing more than a mere shapeless, weedly mass of infertile mud. However, gazing upon it, this skilled potter saw beyond the outward. Looking carefully, intently, he saw a vessel within. And setting it on the wheel, he formed it into an object of beauty fit for the temple or fit for the royal palace. You see, in every piece of clay, the potter sees a vessel that he can make, a vessel that he can take up, a vessel that he can use. And while we tonight are but red earth, yet the Lord, seeing beyond the outward, he sees we are not useless. He sees in each of us a vessel that he can take up and use. Indeed, writing to Timothy, Paul said in 2 Timothy 2, verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." Why, the gold and silver vessels were used in the temple. The wood and earthen vessels were vital in the kitchen. And although some of these vessels were richer and more ornate than others, yet each of them had a vital function to perform. And by it, he was reminding these believers that they might not have the skills that others had, but yet they had a function. And you see, while we may vary in our skills, we are all vital in his service. Despite our seeming uselessness, the Lord can take us up and the Lord can use us. A traveler, on one occasion, traveling through France, he entered into a little French pottery place. And being amazed at the beauty of the finished products, he asked the potter, Where did you ever find such beautiful designs?" The potter just continued with his work. And after some considerable time, he lifted his finger and he simply pointed to his head. And just as the potter looking at a piece of clay and the dressmaker looking at a roll of cloth sees a purpose for them, so God looking down and God looking upon you this evening, he sees a purpose for your life. He sees a service that you can perform. Maybe you say tonight, "But preacher, I'm just a lump of weedly clay. What could God do with me?" He may not be able to make fine china out of you, but my friend, he can take you. And God can use you for his honor, and God can use you for his glory. He can use you to perform a service that perhaps no other person could ever perform. And as a potter would look at that piece of clay and he would see in that clay a vessel, so tonight as God looks down upon your life, he sees, as it were, a vessel. He sees a function you can perform. He sees tonight a work that you can do. Oh, believer, what a comfort tonight. God has a purpose for your life. God can make something out of your life. He wants to use you for his honor and for his glory. But I think not only do we notice the purpose, but we notice the pressures he employed. Taking the clay and placing it upon the wheel, we read in verse 4, "So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Amongst the potter's many tools was the mallet, bringing it down again and again with great force upon the clay. He gradually drives out the little bubbles of air, making it pliable. He then, surrounding it with his hands, he applies even more pressure. Then, digging his thumbs right
into it. He opens the whole clay up. And while these things on the surface may seem to be destructive, yet softening the clay, they help him to fashion it into an object of beauty. And an object that is useful. And while the pounding of the mallet is at wear, and the pressures of life at times may seem unpleasant, they're not useless. They help mold us into the vessel that God wants us to be. Indeed, lifting his pen and writing unto the Romans, Paul said in Romans chapter 5 in the verse 3, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." The word tribulation there comes from the Latin word tribulum. In Paul's day, the tribulum was a piece of wood with spikes driven into it. It was used by the farmers to thresh the grain. And as such, he was saying here that as the tribulum separated the chaff from the grain, so their tribulations were sent not only to separate them from the chaff and the sin, but to add patience, experience, and so on. You see, the pressures of life are designed not to break us, but they are rather designed to make us, to shape and fashion us into vessels fit for the master's use. Any artist will tell you that light is essential and light is beautiful. But you know, light in itself can never make a masterpiece. Without the dark shadows in the picture will never stand out. It will never attract the wandering eye. And similarly, the seemingly dark shadows in life are given not to destroy us, but they are given to form us and shape us, to make us even into the image of Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you feel the hands of the potter. And my, they're strong and they're squeezing in. And my, they are ripping apart your whole life. They're pulling apart all the plans that you have ever laid down. And perhaps such is the pressure that you feel like crying out. But my friend, remember that that pressure is the pressure of the potter's hands. God has put his hand around you. God is fashioning you so that you might be a vessel of honor, that you might be useful unto him. Oh, remember tonight that all things work together for good to them that love God. And my, tonight, as the potter broke the clay, battered the clay, to make it into a vessel of beauty. So my friend, those seeming problems, those seeming storms, those seeming pressures in your life, they are but the potter's hand fashioning you and seeking to make you into a vessel of honor. But notice also here the perseverance he exhibited, taking this piece of clay. We read in verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Shaping this beautiful vessel, suddenly a defect appeared. And yet, rather than throwing the clay away and starting again, we find him applying more and more water to the old piece of clay, softening it and pressing it back into a lump. He then began to make it again. You see, rather than giving up on this vessel, we find him breaking it down. We find him working again and again until it was fashioned perfectly. And like the potter, the Lord just never gives up with his people. Rather than discarding them, he is continually seeking to develop them. Indeed, speaking of the Lord's workings in his own life, The psalmist said in Psalm 138 in the verse 8, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And he knew that the Lord would not forsake him. He knew that the Lord would never give him up. But he would work until he perfected that which concerned him. What God commences in our lives, he always completes. He will not let you go until he presents you faultless before the Father's throne. It is said of Josiah Wedgwood that he designed a vase to be made out of a very unique type of clay. Following his instructions, his workers going to the workshop, they produced a beautiful, a spectacular vessel. However, when they took that vessel and they put it into the oven and they turned up the heat, it began to crack. And then it crumbled. And coming out of the oven, it was just a piece of dust. Trying for 6 months, they approaching Josiah Wedgwood, they said, "Sir, we have decided to give up." And Josiah Wedgwood, looking at them, he replied, "You must not. You must not." And going on, they finally succeeded. You see, child of God, it doesn't matter how long it takes. It doesn't matter what it will take. God will never give up. He's fashioning us. He's shaping us by his hand. And he will not quit. He will not give up on us until he presents us perfect before the Father's throne. How quick we are to give up on others. How quick we are at times even to give up on ourselves. We say, "What's the point? I have fallen again. The old mar has come through again, and we're ready to pack it in." But my friend, the great potter will never give up. Never give up. Oh, his mission, is to present us faultless. Faultless before the Father's throne. But I think as we look at these words, we not only see the potter's mission, surely we see the potter's material. Digging up the clay, the potter in those days then covered it with water. Eventually drawing off the water, he then let it sit for 6 months. Then taking it and placing it upon the wheel. It needed to be surrendered. Coming into the potter's house, he said in verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Rather than trying to patch up the old marred vessel, he broke it down again. Pressing it into a pile, he worked it again and again, breaking up every hard lump within it. You see, until the clay was soft and pliable, until it was surrendered to the potter's will, he was unable to shape it. Until it was broken, until it was surrendered, he could do nothing with it. And you see, believer, before we can be shaped, we must be surrendered. Our lives must become, as it were, putty in his hands. Realizing that, Paul, writing unto the Romans, he said in Romans chapter 6 and the verse 13, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." But here's the key. "But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." The word "instrument" there could equally be rendered weapons. Before they could become weapons that could overcome Satan, they needed themselves to be overcome by Christ. Yielded to him. You see, there must be that yielding of our will to the divine will. A placing of ourselves in his hands. Many years ago in the horse and buggy days, a man and his new wife were going down a little lane. It was narrow, it was rough, it was full of potholes, and on each side there were steep elevations. And the horse trotting on at quite a speed, the new wife looking down and seeing the fall at every side, she became rather nervous. And being nervous, she reached out and she grabbed one of the reins. And as calmly as you like, the husband took the other rein and he reached it also to her. And reaching it to her, she said, "Oh no, I don't want them both. I could never manage alone." And turning, he said, "Well, make up your mind. It's either you or me. We both can't drive the same horse." And believer, if you're not to make shipwreck in your life, there needs to be, as it were, a taking of your hand of the reins. And a placing of the reins of your life entirely, solely, into the hands of the Lord. We often sing, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still." And believer, there needs to be that yielding of our lives to him. We need to become like the clay that's broken, that's soft. Because until we are soft, until we are surrendered, the Lord can't make anything of our lives. So often we're like that woman. My, we're happy enough to let the Lord have control of a certain part of our lives. But there are other parts of our lives and we say, "Lord, that's not your domain. That's nothing to do with you." Oh, believer, there needs to be a yielding of yourself into his hands. A willing to go wherever he wants you to go. A willing to do whatever he wants you to do. A willing to live, a willingness to live entirely unto him. And I wonder tonight, is your heart soft? Is your will pliable tonight? Ready for the Lord to shape. Not only did it need to be surrendered, it also needed to be spotless. He said in verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Often a little stone or a very small pebble lurked hidden in the clay. And while unnoticed and seemingly insignificant, yet the walls of the vessel coming upward and coming finer and finer, it eventually appeared, flowing the design, it weakening the whole vessel that then eventually collapsed. And describing this little vessel, he called it in verse 10, evil. You see, while sin at times may seem insignificant and lie secluded in our lives, it is serious. If it's not dealt with, it'll mar our whole life. Paul, recognizing that, he, writing to the Corinthians, he said in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, "Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?" And while they could see no harm in their boasting, Paul reminded them it was like a little leaven. And as leaven, it would spread and spread until it would corrupt and destroy their whole lives. You see, even the smallest sin is serious. It has that power to destroy our testimony. You know, a mom one day taking a little boy shopping, they went into a potter's shop. And the little boy wandering around, he saw a lovely pot. And he stuck his hand into the pot. Of course, when he was doing that, he picked probably the most expensive pot in the whole shop. And when he got his hand into the pot, he couldn't get his hand out of the pot. Of course, the mother was distraught, and she tried everything to get the little lad's hand out of the pot. My, frustrated, she eventually took up some article, and she broke the pot. And when she broke the pot, now she discovered her little boy's hand all balled up inside the pot. And as you can imagine, she was annoyed. And she said to her son, why didn't you just open up your hand? And if you'd opened up your hand, you could just have taken it out of the pot. And the little boy looked at her and he said, Mama, if I'd opened up my hand, I would have dropped the penny. And how many people are like that tonight? They don't want to give up some sin in their life. And as a consequence, they mar their lives. They mar their whole testimony. You see, if you're not going to make shipwreck, there needs to be a willingness to get rid of those sins. Yes, it may seem small. Yes, in comparison to society, it may seem insignificant. But listen, it has that potential of marring your testimony. Just a little stone, just a little pebble, but the whole vessel collapsed. Oh, believer, don't hide that sin. Don't cling to that sin. But cast it away. It cast it away. You see, the clay, it needed to be spotless. It also needed to be sustained. Let the potter take his hand off the clay for an instant. And the vessel spinning out of control, the whole thing will just collapse. And you see, without Christ, our lives and our labors will collapse. Without his hand, we can do nothing. Oh, we need to recognize that truth today. Without the hand of the potter, without his hand, without him shaping us, without his pressure, without his guidance, we'll make shipwreck. Oh, do you feel the hand of the potter? Then yield to it. Don't fight him. My, he knows what's best. He's seeking to make you into a vessel that's useful. Let him have control. Let him have control. But lastly, I want you to notice also here the potter's might. While he at first may seem insignificant, yet the potter possesses tremendous power. You notice here that he has power to spin the pot. Placing the clay on the wheel, the potter then begins to spin it. You see, it is the potter who controls its speed. It's the potter who controls its direction. And the wheel of life is under divine control. Its direction and its speed is controlled by him. The writer, taking up his pen, wrote, God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. And child of God, when all suddenly becomes dark in your life, and when the wheel, as it were, seems to be my spinning out of control, and you're not sure what lies ahead, remember the potter. The potter is in control. It's the potter who controls the wheel and who's shaping it. Here's our comfort tonight. That God is in control. He has power not only to spin the pot, surely he has power to smash the pot. Verse 4, so he made it again. Another vessel is seen good to the potter to make it. The vessel being marred, this potter didn't continue to try and to shape it. But smashing it, he made it again. You see, he had power not only to make the vessel, but he had the power to smash the vessel. Christ has power not only to fashion our lives, but if necessary, power to fracture our lives. He's able to smash our best laid plans. How sometimes we think we know better than God, and in our stubbornness and in our rebellion, we say, I'll do my own thing and I'll do it my own way. My friend, he's a potter. And he's able to smash all of your plans. He's able to bring your whole world collapsing down words. He's in control. And of course, obviously, his power to shape the pot. Verse 4, so he made it again another vessel that seemed good to the potter to make it. Why, the layman would have taken this old marred pot and threw it in the rubbish pit. He took it up again. And applying it, he made it into a vessel of beauty, a vessel useful. And as the potter, Christ is powerful. He's able to shape you into the very image of Christ. He's able to make you anew. Mendelssohn, on one occasion, going into one of Europe's great cathedrals and hiding his identity, he asked permission, could he play the organ? Mighty verger said no. However, Mendelssohn wasn't one to give up, and he insisted, and eventually the verger gave in. And hearing him play, and then discovering who he was, he said, how foolish I was to keep you from the organ. And I say to you tonight, don't keep Christ from your life. He's able to make you into an object of beauty. He's able to take your life and he's able to fashion it into the vessel that he wants you to be, into the vessel he needs you to be. And he's able to take you and to use you. Praise God tonight, he's the potter. We're the clay. May we be surrendered, pliable, so that he can make us into that which he has designed us even to be. Believer, do you feel his hands upon your life? He's fashioning you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you say, preacher, I've made a mess of my life. I've made a total mess of it. I'm ashamed of my life. And I'd be ashamed if those who are close to me knew the things that I have done. But I want to tell you, the potter is able to make you anew. He's able to make you into a vessel of beauty. He's able to save you. And he's able to keep you. He is the potter. May we be vessels fit for the Master's use. Let us just bow together in prayer. Let us commit our service to the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for thy presence with us. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee for the picture that thou hast left with us. Lord, may it be and remain in our minds. And Lord, our cry would be, Lord, have thine own way. Have thine own way. We confess that so often we want to jump in and we want to do our own thing and we make a mess of our lives. Lord, help us to leave ourselves entirely in thine hand. And Lord, use us for thy honor and for thy glory. Lord, if there are those that are meeting and they're not saved, we pray this evening that they might come and cast themselves at thy feet. And Lord, that confessing their sin and looking unto thee, Lord, that thou wouldst then raise them up and use them for thy honor and for thy glory. We thank thee, O God, for this opportunity, even of gathering in thy house. And we pray that thou wouldst bless each of thy children. We know, Lord, they'll not be able to meet in this fashion the next 2 weeks. But we pray that as thy word goes forth from this pulpit, even across the internet, that it be used mightily for thee. And Lord, we pray, keep us close to thee in these days. We pray that as the storms would blow, keep us safe. But Lord, keep us looking ever unto thee. So we thank thee for thy hand upon our lives. We pray, O God, that thou be pleased to part us even now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. For we pray in thy name and for thy glory.